on the Haggadah is dedicated in memory of Dr. Chuck Feldman Zal by his loving family and by friends of David Wick Zal in his memory. I would like to, if you look at the second side of the sheet, down at the bottom, is a pasuk in Dvarim. Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Gimel. On the second side, at the bottom, near the bottom, Dvarim is not the last pasuk, but next to the last pasuk. It says, "Lo tochal alav chametz shivat yamim," that you should not eat. There's a prohibition against eating chametz for 7 days. Tochal alav, instead of that, eat matzot. You should eat matzot instead of eating chametz. Doesn't say why you shouldn't eat chametz in the Torah, but at least not in this pasuk. But then it says, "Tochal alav matzot," and the reason that you eat matzot, well, it says, "Kama lechem oni," the food or the bread that the poor people ate. "Ki b'chipazon yatzata me'eretz Mitzrayim." Chipazon, the word chipazon means
hastily.
What?
Hastily.
Yeah, hastily. I know it's unnaturally hastily. Like it's not something you necessarily wanted to do with haste.
Chipazon is hastily.
Yeah, Yatzata Mitzrayim. Man tiskoret yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. Okay. Because you have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim all the days of your life.
Right.
Rashi says, okay, Rashi explains lechem oni, lechem maskir et ha'oni shenit anu b'Mitzrayim. It's the bread of affliction. It's the bread that people who are afflicted eat. They don't eat bread, but they eat matzah. And therefore matzah is called lechem oni, the bread of the impoverished or the afflicted. And then the pasuk says, "Kipazon yatzatam." And since you went out hastily, Rashi says, "Kipazon yatzata lo ispik batzek lahachmitz," so that the dough did not rise. It didn't rise. That's called lahachmitz. V'zeh yelecha lezikaron. And who was rushing here? Not you, but Mitzrayim was rushing. Shekeinu Omer, this is what it says in the Pasuk, with the Chazak Mitzrayim ala Am, that the Egyptians were strong, and they were determined, to beat up on the Jews, right? They were determined to do that. Shekeinu Omer v'tachzak Mitzrayim al ha'am l'man tizkor al yedei achilat ha'pesach v'amatzah et yom tzeitcha, that you remember. The way you remember is that you eat the Pesach and the Matzah together. Pesach means Korban Pesach, and Matzah. There are different elements here in this pasuk. The reason that I'm starting from this pasuk is because in the Targum Onkelos, the word the chipazon is translated what? The word the chipaz what? Yeah, the Targum Onkelos. Which once there was a time when all the Jews knew the Targum Onkelos Ba'al Peh because they understood it, but they didn't understand the Hebrew so well. Today we don't understand either.
What is
Chipazon means what does Chipazon mean?
Hastily.
Hastily. Unnaturally hastily. So in the Targum Onkelos. In the Targum Onkelos, the word chipazon is translated as behilu. like the modern Hebrew behala. The word behala means, excitement, things are happening, or something like that, behala. Bebehilu. So the word chipazon is in the Chumash. The word behilu is in the Targum Onkelos. And interestingly enough, if you look at the Rambam's Haggadah, Rambam Maimonides, if you look at his Haggadah, where would you look to find the Rambam's Haggadah?
Mishnah Torah.
What?
Mishnah Torah.
In the Mishnah Torah, after Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, the Rambam actually printed his Haggadah. The opening words in that Haggadah, before Halach Ma'anya, which we talked about on Sunday, before Halach Ma'anya, right, the Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction, or the bread of Sha'onim Alav Harbei, you know, different Perushim of Lechem Oni, the Rambam says, the heading, the headline is Bibihilu Yetzu Mitzrayim. With chipazon, they went out of Mitzrayim. And that comes from this pasuk. Now, why did they leave Mitzrayim Bibihilu, according to Rashi? Because the Egyptians changed them out. Right? They baked matzah, therefore they couldn't bake bread. You know, you have all this kind of chain of events kind of thing. But let's look and see if we can find exactly where that took place. Okay, look at the first section. A lot of words. I will translate as many words as I think I have to, but if I miss a word, you could ask me. It was, I might miss a word that I should translate. That's what I said. These psukim take place after the Makat Bechorot. Right? Makat Bechorot. Bakat Bechorot takes place after the Korban Pesach. What is the Korban Pesach? It's a special sacrifice that was given once and only once. And the purpose of that sacrifice was to get the blood and smear the blood on the doorposts, and then the Malach HaMavet would skip over that house, and that's the name of the holiday, Pasach. Right, so again, in the Torah, not here, I don't have those psukim here. First is the Korban Pesach. On the 10th, on the 10th day of Nisan, they were instructed to bring the Korban Pesach. On the 15th day of Nisan, the 14th day of Nisan, they sacrificed the Korban Pesach. And the blood was used in order to distinguish the Jewish homes from the other homes, so that the Bechorot would be killed, only Egyptians would be killed and not Jews. That's the story. And now we're up to this pasuk. That the day of Yitziat Mitzrayim, which was the day after the Korban Pesach, v'chagotim oto chag l'Hashem l'dorotechem chukat olam techagu. It'll be a holiday, right? It'll be a holiday. Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Then the pasuk says 7 days. You have to eat matzahs for 7 days. Ach b'yom harishon tashbitu se'or mibateichem. And then there's an add-on that on the first day, Tashbitu. What does Tashbitu mean? Do you know? You have to dislodge yourself from ownership. In other words, you don't have to, as all the Rishonim point out, you don't have to destroy the chametz, right? You have to just not own it. You have to not own the chametz. How do you not own the chametz? I mean, like, I have chametz in my house. So what do I do to it? So I go like this. I go, woo, I don't want you anymore. And that does it min haTorah. Midrabanan, the Chachamim already was suspicious that not everybody who does wu really means it. And so they said, you better do a little more than wu. And they said, you should get rid of it. You should get rid of the chametz. So then there came a conflict. What if I have chametz that's worth a lot of money? What if my business is chametz? Right? So is there something I can do? Is there something I can do that's intermediate? And the determination was, it's already in the Tosefta, I mean very early on, that you can sell it to a non-Jew. If you sell it to a non-Jew, then you have, that's not yours. If it's not yours, you're fulfilling the Torah requirement. It always seems to me to be a bit odd to see the chief rabbis, tongue-in-cheek, selling all the chametz of Eretz Yisrael to some unsuspecting Arab who then, you know, we're all depending on him, on this Arab. Because if you own the chametz, it's an isur karet. In other words, you get cut off in heaven, which I think is unpleasant. One second. So when you sell it to this Arab, the last Arab they had, you know, in the first 20 years that I was in Israel, happened to be a Jew, which was unfortunately for all the owners of the chametz who were selling him the chametz. But now they have checked and double checked and triple checked, and they're sure that the Arab is really an Arab and not just somebody who's interested in television time. But so that midoraita, the word tashbitu, means apparently just get rid of it any way you can. And many Rishonim say that if you just declare that it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you. Other Rishonim question this, because if I have something in my house that I really don't want, you know, like an old wedding present or something, so I can say, whew, I don't want you, but it's still going to be mine because it's in my house. I'd have to take it out of my house. Right, and put it in the public garbage someplace, in order for it not to be mine. Nevertheless, the Ran and other Rishonim say that on Pesach it works. So that's Tashbitu, yes.
If the person doesn't want to sell it back to you, he keeps it.
Yeah, he does.
It could be upheld in the court.
I mean, he does, but we make sure that the Arab that we send it to sells it doesn't have that much money. And it was the real price for all the chametz in Eretz Yisrael is some astronomical amount, which itself is a problem in the sale. But like if I say here, selling it to you this for a billion shekel, could you give me a down payment like 10 shekel? So that doesn't sound like a real sale, does it? I mean, nobody real would sell a billion shekel for 10 shekel. That's what we do. And we make sure that the Arab that we sell it to doesn't have a billion shekel. Right? And therefore, when the time comes up, which is exactly 1 week after the beginning of Pesach, when the time comes, either put up or shut up. So he shuts up because he doesn't have the money. So automatically, the sale is undone. And all the chametz goes back to its original owner. That's what we do. That's how we, you know, we do it. And most people, if you have something expensive, like if all you have is old bread and, you know, store-bought cake, you might as well get rid of it. But if you have something very expensive, like what could it be? Only very expensive liquor. I mean, I don't know anything else. I mean, perfume is probably not chametz, and all that kind of stuff is not real chametz. Not the kind of chametz you have to worry about. But liquor might be. Again, I won't get involved. Nothing is what you think it is. But liquor costs a lot of money, like a fine bottle of whiskey. So if you have an $800 bottle of Johnny Walker Blue, Gold, Super, whatever, you know, then you don't want to just throw it out. You'd rather just, I mean, you could actually fill it up with orange juice and say it's too expensive to give out to anybody. But so that's tashbitu. I thought about the word tashbitu. 7 days tashbitu sorry but they have kolachel chametz v'nichrita nevashim Yisrael miyom rishon miyom shvi. You can't eat chametz. Now this attitude that the Torah has about chametz is very, very serious. It's a very serious transgression. Karet, right? If you eat chametz, and these psukim that we're reading take place after Makat Bechorot and after they're leaving Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shmartem et haMatzot ki be'etzel hayom hazeh hotzeiti et tzivot teichem me'eretz Mitzrayim u'shmartem et hayom hazeh ledorotechem chukat olam. Shmartem, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shmartem et haMatzot. If you look at the Rashi, Shmartem et haMatzot shelo yavo lidei chimutz. Watch them. Watch the matzot. They shouldn't come lidei chimutz. Mikad amar tafach tiltosh bitzonan. That from this the Gemara says that if you see the matzah is rising, so like put it in a chilly place, you know, get that rise out of it. And so we hear for the first time that there's another aspect to matzah. It's not just lechem oni, the bread of the impoverished. It's not just lechem she'onim alav, a devarim harbe, that you talk about a lot. But matzah is, it's not yet chametz. In other words, it was determined somehow that you have 18 minutes after you fire up an oven to make matzot. And after 18 minutes, it's going to produce chametz. After all, how do you make bread? Flour and water, right? How do you make matzah? Flour and water. It's exactly the same thing. The difference between matzah and bread is chipazon. Chipazon, behilum, right? That's chipazon. The matzah is made bechipazon, and the lechem is made b'li chipazon. Right? The lechem is just let it stay in the oven until you think it looks good, you think it looks right. That's how you bake bread. Right? You stick it in the oven, and then you look through that little window, and if it looks okay, you take it out. And the idea is you like it to rise, because if it doesn't rise, it's a cracker. Right? So it's hard to eat. It's harder to eat. If it rises, nice and soft, and has a shape of, it takes the shape of a pan, and so people prefer to eat bread. People prefer to eat bread and not to eat matzah. What's the difference between matzah and bread? Time. That's the difference. The matzah, you make quickly. You don't let it rise. Because anything will rise. I mean, you don't have to put in shmarim.
That's what?
What do you call shmarim?
Yeast.
Oh, you don't have to put in yeast. But it comes from the air. Right? There's plenty of that stuff that makes it rise in the air. You put in yeast because you want it to look a certain way. To rise. What?
You put in yeast to make it rise.
Right. But even if you don't put in yeast, it's going to rise. So now, Pasuk Yitched, Barishon Ba'abasa Yom Lechodesh, Be'erev Tochlu Matzot Adechev Esrim Ba'arev. So now we have a separate mitzvah to eat matzot for 7 days. Now the way we understand that is that the obligation to eat matzah is only on the first day of Pesach. But the other days of Pesach, if you want to eat something that's made out of flour and water, you have to eat matzah. So you have to eat. So you don't have to eat matzah for 7 days, except according to the Vilna Gaon, who said that it was a mitzvah to eat from this pasuk. He said it's a mitzvah to eat matzah every day. But we don't generally accept that position, that halachic position. And what we do is we eat the matzah on the first night in the Seder. We eat a matzah. And then, if you want to eat matzah, you do, and if you don't, you don't. So now we're up to Pasuk Kaf, right? Kol machmetzet lo tochelu, b'kol moshu otechim tochelu matzot. Again, that's how, that's the tzivui, the command that God gave to Bnei Yisrael, eat matzah, don't eat chametz. Eat matzah, don't eat chametz. All the chametz that you have, tashbitu, get rid of it. Right? Do not eat any chametz, you're going to be severely punished for eating chametz. Right? The holiday is going to go on for 7 days for some reason. Right? I'll tell you why it's going to go on for 7 days. It'll go on for 7 days, and during those 7 days, don't eat chametz, and don't have anything to do with chametz, don't own chametz, don't get rid of all the chametz that you might have had, and that's it. Now we're up to Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayikra Moshe lekol zeknei Yisrael vayom alehem mishchu kruchem tzon v'shvukotev v'shachatu ha'pasla. Then there is this repeat of the mitzvot. The first has to do with Pesach, and this goes on until Pasuk Kaf Hei. Right, kafe. Vayaki tavol haaretz asher yitev Hashem lechem kasher divar shvatem et avodazo. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, like Yoshua is going to lead you to Eretz Yisrael, ushmartem et avodah hazot. Shvatem et avodah hazot. It means you do something. In other words, there's Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Mitzrayim, I told you, you take the sheep on the 10th of Nisan. On the 14th of Nisan, you shecht it. Then you put the blood on the doorposts, and you're saved. Your firstborn children are saved. Okay? Then the Pasuk says in Pasuk Kaf Hei, Vayaki Tavol Haaretz. We're talking now about 40 years later. Right, 40 years later, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, Vayaki Tavol Haaretz Asher Yitev Hashem Lechem Kasher Diber Ushmartem Et Avodah Hazot. Ushmartem Et Avodah Hazot. The Rashi, the Pasuk of A. 1 second. Vayaki Tavol Haaretz. You see the last line on the page. Tala Katuv Mitzvah Zon. This mitzvah, what we call Pesach, which starts with a Seder, right? Which we call, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, starts with the Korban Pesach, right? Starts with the Korban Pesach, which is on Yud Dalet. Yud Dalet this year is on Friday. Next Friday is Yud Dalet. Okay. Rashi, again. You continue in when you get to Eretz Yisrael. So you know that in Bamidbar, in the book of Bamidbar, Perek Tet, right, people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, how are we going to keep Pesach? Because we're Tmeim. How are we going to give the Korban Pesach? People who came to know who they were exactly is also a question. It doesn't really matter. But they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, how are we going to keep the Pesach? So Moshe Rabbeinu told them that there's a new invention called Pesach Sheni. Mm-hmm. Pesach Sheni is the Korban Pesach that takes place a month later, not on the 14th of Nisan, but the 14th of Iyar. Right? For those people who could not participate. Therefore, we learn from that, or what do we know from that? That there were at least two Pesach events before they came to Eretz Yisrael. The first one was what we call Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach, the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. And the second one was the Korban Pesach that was given a year later. Is that... And then, for the next 38 years, they didn't do Pesach. Because it says in this pasuk that we just read, pasuk kafe, it says here, Akita bo'ol ha'aretz asher yitein Hashem l'kavkishet ben shmartem et avodah zot. Shmartem et avodah zot refers to the Korban Pesach. It's all connected to the Korban Pesach. Are you worn out yet? No. Why am I worn out? Pasuk kavav. Vayaki yomro lechem b'neichem ba'avodah zot lachem. You recognize that? So now, one of the sons has made an appearance. Then, when are your children going to say it? Ma'avodah zot lachem. Simple pshat. After 40 years. After 39 years. So of course, they haven't done it for 39 years, so they're going to say, what's going on? Right? That makes sense. Today, it doesn't make sense. Because all the kids in the Gan, they can't walk, but they can sing Manishtana. Right? They all know everything about everything. So what are they? So they're not going to say, Ma'avodah zot lachem. They're going to say, where's the candy that we were promised? Pasuk Havzai v'amartem, Zevach Pesach ul Hashem. That's what you answer. It's a Korban Pesach. Hashem Pasach ul Batei, B'nei Yisrael v'Mitzrayim, B'nei Kod Mitzrayim, B'tei Nu Yitzil, V'aykod Abba Yishtach Havu. And they all bow down. So this Pasuk is about the future. When are the children going to ask? When they're in Eretz Yisrael. When you do the Korban Pesach again. So they... The children know a lot of things, but they never saw Korban Pesach. Okay, Pasuk Kaf Chet. After this command was given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael, Yechu v'yasu Bnei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe v'Aharon ken asu. V'yihi b'chatzi ha'layla. And now we have the story. It goes like there's the tzivui and there's the story about the tzivui. So this is these psukim are about pasuk kaftet vayim chatzi alayla v'ashem mikako b'chol b'eretz Mitzrayim b'chol paro v'shev kisod b'chol ashvi asher b'veit habor v'chol b'chol b'heima, all the b'chorot got it that night. V'yokom paro layla hu v'chol avodah v'chol Mitzrayim v'ditza kag dola v'mitzrayim. So Paro was screaming and yelling and crying. He couldn't even imagine how bad things would get. He said to them, up and out. He didn't say, let's negotiate, as he did in the past. Up, out. Mitocha mi, gam atem, gam b'nei Yisrael, all of you. Go and serve God as you have told me you wanted to do. And this is Paro trying to defend his territory, right? He says, you said you just wanted to go to serve God. You didn't want to leave. You didn't say you wanted to leave. And the Egyptians really wanted to drive the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Now, here we are. We finally got to Pasuk Labadalit. It was in this section. In this section, you see, first there is Sibuyim. There are mitzvot. Korban Pesach, Matzah, Chometz. Right? Korban Pesach, Matzah, and Chometz. Then it happened. That it happens. The firstborn is killed. And then Pasuk Lavedalet, Vaisaha Amet Bitseko Terem Yechmatz. And so the story is that the Jews carried Bitseko. Bitseko, their dough. They had dough. I mean, what do you do with dough? You make something of it. But here it says, "Vayisa ha'am et bitzeko terem yechmatz." Before it rose, They carried it out. Why they carry it out? Because they didn't have any time. Misharatam tsurot b'simlatam al shichmam. So if you look at the Rashi, turn the page, look at the Rashi. Teren yechmatz. You see pasuk labadalit towards the bottom of the Rashi? Hamitzriyim lo inichum lishot kidei chimutz. Rashi blames the Egyptians. It was their fault. They were pushing so hard on the Jews to leave that the chametz, that the dough, did not rise. That's what happened. Misharatam. Misharatam. What's left? She'er. What's left over? She'erei matzah maror. They had matzah. They had maror. Where did they have matzah from? Well, they were poor people. And poor people make matzah. So they must have had matzah at home. So when they ran out of Mitzrayim, they grabbed a piece of matzah, you know, they want to die on the way. What about moror, Rashi says? What is shirei matzah moror? That has to do with the Korban Pesach, right? That's the way they ate the Korban Pesach. They ate the Korban Pesach with matzah and moror. That's how you ate meat. I mean, you know, corned beef on rye, Korban Pesach on matzah. That's what they did. That's how they ate it. What's moror? That was the mitzvah of a Korban Pesach. Al matzot and mororim. You have to eat it with matzah and moror. At least that's the way we understood it. But they would have eaten it with matzah anyway. So according to Rashi, when they ran out of Mitzrayim, they took the matzah and the moror. The matzah and the moror that they had left over from eating the Korban Pesach. Not new matzah and moror. Old matzah and moror. Okay? Al shichmam. Aval pishe behemot habeho lichu imahem. Mechabavim ahu et ha-mitzvah. Okay, Rashi has a problem. How come they're carrying all this matzah and moror on their backs? Didn't they get a lot of animals from the Egyptians, you know, to help them out? Let's go back and finish. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. We come to a very important pasuk. You see pasuk Lamed Zayin? You see before pasuk Lamed Zayin, there's a little pay. That means it's a parasha p'tucha. It's like a paragraph in the Torah. When you look in the Torah, you see it's divided into paragraphs. So in the printed editions, they got into this habit of putting a pei for a smaller paragraph division and a samach. Pei for a bigger one and a samach for a smaller one. I mean, you must have noticed these peis and samachs. Drive even in this page, if you look at the seventh line, you see a pei, right? If you look from the bottom, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom, you see a samach.
Yep.
So the samach, the pay is a bigger division, and samach is a smaller division. Paragraphs, like what we call paragraphs today. Sometimes you also write that way. You put in a paragraph and skip a line. Sometimes you just put in a paragraph and you don't skip a line. So here we are, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. This is where we wanted to get to all this time. Vayis'u b'nei Yisrael miRamses Sukkotah. They went from Ramses, right? Ramses, where the Jews were, where they built those pyramids, they built those cities, and they went to a place called Sukkah. They went to a place called Sukkah. Rashi, if you turn the page. Mirab Seit Sukkotah. Me'av Esrim Mil Hayu. 120 mil. A mil is like 20 minutes. Ubo Sham Lefi Sha'ah. They came there at that very moment. In other words, it was a miracle. A miracle took place. Uh, מאה ועשרים מיל היו ובאו שם לפי שעה שנאמר ועשה אתכם על כנפי נשארים. Later on, הקדוש ברוך הוא relates to them the story of יציאת מצרים. The words that I used are ועשה אתכם, I carry you on the wings of eagles. So where were the wings and where was the eagles? According to Rashi, here. They went from Ramses. Ramses was the place of Makat Bechorot. They went from Ramses to Sukkot. What happened in Sukkot? What happened in Sukkot? Why does the Torah tell us about Sukkot Bechlal? 600,000 men besides children. And there was also, like all kinds of odd people, non-Jews who came with them. What do you think? So that's Rashi. Rashi asked before, why did they have to carry the stuff out of Mitzrayim? They had all these animals. They could have had the animals carry in Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, Chibat Mitzvah. They wanted to carry the stuff, you know, for the mitzvah, the matzah and the moror that they took out of Mitzrayim. They wanted to carry it themselves. Now look at this pasuk, my friends. Vayafu'ata batzeka shotzivu Mitzrayim. Was anybody oppressing the Jews at this particular moment? Were there any Egyptians there? No. They were going to chase after the Jews. But they were not going to be supported by the miraculous transfer that the Jews had from Ramses to Sukkot. They came there instantly, at that very instant, and the Egyptians were just reconnoitering. They were deciding on what they were going to do. So again, the pasuk says, "Vayofu et ha-batzek." So they took this batzek. Where did they take the batzek from? They took it from Ramses. Good. They took it from Ramses, and they had this batzek. "Vayofu et ha-batzek asher hotziv mitzrayim." Ugot batzot ki lo chametz. Why did they do Ugot Matzot Ki Lo Chametz? Maybe because they were used to it. Maybe because that's the way they did it, but they didn't have to. Why couldn't they just bake bread? Ki Goshu Mi Mitzrayim Velo Yechlu Litmamea V'gam Seida Lo Asu Milelehem. They were chased out of Mitzrayim. They could not wait. What could they not wait for? What exactly is the story of Ramses in the making of the matzah? Now, if you look at the next section, turn the page. Shmot Perek Yud Gimel. What we just read was Shmot in Perek Yud Bet. Now we're up to Perek Yud Gimel. You have to remember Shirat Hayam. Shirat Hayam is chapter Tetvav 15. So we're way before that still. Vayomer Moshe la'am zechor at yom hazeh shesafu Yisrael beit avadim chazikah tatzi Hashem etchem mizeh v'lo yachel chametz. Lo yachel chametz. Nachamu. You see in Perek Yud Bet, right? It says quite clearly. You're not allowed to eat chametz for 7 days. Why not? We don't know. Pasuk, Perek Yud Pasuk Dalet. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh Aviv. Right, that's why we know that Pesach always has to be b'chodesh Aviv. Right? What is chodesh Aviv? When the flowers blossom on the fruit. You know it's Aviv. So if you have Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat, Adar, at the end of Adar, what comes after Adar? Nisan. But what if you come to the end of Nisan and it's snowing? It's like not so good, right? It's not Aviv. So what do we do to compensate? We add a month. We just add a month, and we just say blank, and then Nisan. That's how we have to always accommodate Nisan with the idea of Aviv. It has to come out, the Aviv. Pasuk Hey. Hey. Vayaki Abiyachal Hashem al Eretz Ketani Chetim Bermeim Chivi Yehusi. Hashem Nishbal Matar Tega Etzvat Chalav Advash Bevadata Et Avodah Hazot V'Chodesh Hazeh. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu reiterates what has already been stated, that you celebrate Pesach when you come to Eretz Yisrael. When you come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot B'Yom HaShvi'i Shvi'i Chag L'Hashem. Another repetition. B'Yom HaShvi'i, I'm sorry, Shivat Yamim, you should eat Matzot. Matzot Yechel at Shivat Yamim V'Leir Elecha Chameitz Lo Yer Elecha Sa'or B'Chol Gvulecha. You should not, it should not be seen as yours. The chamet should not be seen as we discussed previously. You have to disown the chamet. You don't have to destroy it, but you have to disown it. If you have a problem with disowning, you could try destroying. That's what we do. We do everything. You know, that's the nature of things. Since we're never sure of who we are, whether we are, you know, good enough or not good enough, so we do everything you could do to the chametz that's possible. We destroy it, and then we get we look for it. We destroy what we find. We sell what we can destroy or find, right? And that's the end. B'chodesh Aviv. Okay. Now, if you look down at pasuk Tetzayin. See pasuk that Dvarim Perik that Zayin pasuk that Zayin. We'll look at the pasuk again. Lo tochal alav chameit shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni. Lechem oni Rashi lechem shemaskir ta oni shenit anu b'mitzrayim, the affliction that they were afflicted with in Mitzrayim. And then this word chipazon yatzata me'eretz Mitzrayim ki b'chipazon. Lo speak batzek lachmitz, that the dough did not rise. V'zeh yelech alish dikaron. V'chipazon lo shelcha ya elesh el Mitzrayim. And here we have a question on Rashi. Rashi says that the chipazon was caused by Mitzrayim. But we know that the chipazon actually took place in Sukkot. In Sukkot, where they came with the dough, and they could have, they had a lot of time, they could have baked bread. But instead, they insisted on matzah. So, what seems to me to be a possible resolution of, where did the isur, the prohibition of chametz come from? I mean, why did the Torah tell us at the beginning, don't eat chametz? And why is it that the Jews, when they were in Sukkot and seemed to have some time, also insisted on making on baking matzah? And then the Torah in Dvarim summarizes all of this by saying there was chipazon, and the chipazon came from the Egyptians, when we know it didn't really come from the Egyptians. So it seems to me that the word chipazon might be understood somewhat in a different way. You remember that the Rambam, when the Rambam tries to explain to us how Avodah Zarah, how idolatry came into the world, so the Rambam said it was a svara. No, it was a thought process that people had. And the people thought that if God gave power to the sun and the moon and the stars, to control elements of the climate, of life itself. I mean, you couldn't have life without a sun. I mean, continuing life. It's true, God created the world. But then God put the sun in that world to give it life, ongoing life, all the time. So it was a svara that the people employed. The Rambam calls that svara ta'ut gedola. there's a major mistake that people made. And that mistake was that if God that if God gave power to the sun and the moon and the stars, obviously God would want us to recognize that power and pay homage to it. Pay homage to the power that God recognizes. So it's like Ahasuerus appointing Haman as his second in command. Ahasuerus wanted people to bow down to Haman. And Haman picked up on that. He thought that was a great idea. It was a great idea. And interestingly, Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaber. Mordechai did not bow down. And Chazal say, so how come he didn't bow down? I mean, it's pikuach nefesh. All the Jews are going to be killed. So they said that he wore an idol around his neck. And therefore, Mordechai would not. So the connection to idolatry and being in command, second in command, was obvious to Chazal. It was obvious to them that must have been what happened. So that Svara is slow. Thinking things out, coming to a conclusion, is a slow process. Accepting a direct command is fast. In other words, you can't ask God why. Even if you think you could explain why, it's not as though you could say, if I knew, then I would be able to change things. So chipazon represents the ability to accept the direct command, whereas svara represents the ability that we have to think things out and to try to come to some sort of conclusion. Of course, if you get a direct command from God, that's a perfect set of information. Whereas you try to figure it out on your own, there's always going to be imperfection. So that the machloket between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu, right, Paro, he disagreed with Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, what was it that he disagreed about? What did Paro disagree about? Well, he disagreed about when you know that it's over. When is it over? And it was Paro said, you know, maybe the sun will win. Maybe the stars will win. There'll be some other god that will win the day, even though right now we're taking a really heavy beating. Right? Paro said, maybe we will win at the end. And so he was willing to chase after Bnei Yisrael, after Makat Bechorot, into the desert, to get to Yam Suf, and even to chase into, when you see, it was Paro saw that God, the God of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael, was powerful enough to split the Red Sea. So you would think that would put him off. That would say to Paro, look, it's not for you. You can't do this. No. He went and he chased right after them into the Red Sea, which was split by God, God who had opposed him. And he thought, nevertheless, that he would be able to vanquish the God of the Jews and of Moshe Rabbeinu. This amazing conflict was visualized all the time by Bnei Yisrael. And they complained. Things are worse than they were. You haven't changed anything, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not yet out of Mitzrayim. Even though they had already gotten to Yam Suf, they'd gone from Ramses to Sukkot to Yam Suf, and were ready to leave the country that was called Mitzrayim. In spite of all of that, they had doubts. Right? God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzak Elai. Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Speak to them. Tell them to go. Tell them to have confidence. They shouldn't even daven. This is not a time for daven. It's a time for confidence. Confidence in the divine promise, which equals chipazon. So the moment that they got to Sukkot, the moment that they got to Sukkot, where they had the option to do something with a svara, to think that it was over, that they would be able to accept the leadership of God, they did it b'chipazon. They did it without thinking, without, you know, that they knew that they had to get out. They knew that they had to go. And so the Rambam and the Gaonim, Sadia Gaon, Rav Avraham Gaon, and the Sidurim, all say the start, the headline of the Haggadah is Bibihilu Yatzu Mitzrayim. It was with chipazon that they left Mitzrayim, because chipazon was enlightening for them. They understood that they had to accept the fact, without any doubt, that God was taking them out of Mitzrayim. And this was a tremendous enterprise for a people who had been enslaved for over 200 years in Mitzrayim, and who was standing up against Paro, who proved himself to be a very formidable enemy, even though we don't think of it in that way. So that the chipazon that was expressed in Sukkot, in the place called Sukkot, was chipazon that was generated by Bnei Yisrael themselves. They understood, even though they heard that they weren't going to be able to eat chametz on future psachim in the future, they knew that they would have to act it out in the present as well. Not because they were forced by the Egyptians, but because they were forced by themselves. They understood that this was the way that they would be able to create a Pesach for themselves. Okay, next week there's no Shavuot. Mm-hmm. Next week is Wednesday night devoted to neurosis. Even though, as has been said in the past, Pesach is not really that hard. I mean, you can make it hard. You can make it hard, but it's not that hard.
And you make it easy.
You go into a supermarket and you buy food for Pesach. I mean, what else is there to do? Everybody cleans their house, right, regularly. That's why for most people, the Bikat Chametz is not such a big deal. Because if you clean your house for 3 weeks before the Bikat Chametz, then there's hardly anything to get too excited about. And what else is there? The matzahs, most people buy matzahs, and they seem to, nothing terrible happens. And chametz you stay away from, because the big signs on the walls, stay away from whatever you stay. We also stay away from little round looking things, you know. What do they call them?
Macaroons.
No, you know, the little ones, what are they called? That's the real problem today. Well, gebrochs is, you know, either you do or you don't, you know, like, what's the problem? You know, today I would tell it, there's a problem if you have a son-in-law who does and you don't, or you do and he don't, or something like that. But I mean, it's a negotiable thing.
You're talking about quinoa. That's what you're
talking about. Quinoa, yeah. Or. I mean, it's not, like I say, it's not such a big deal. You go into the supermarket, take a little plastic can of something, and it says, Mochle Kitnir. So you say, that's not me. Or you say, it is me. I mean, it doesn't, like, there are no mysteries anymore. That's what I mean to say. It's all clear. So because we have so much time to prepare for Pesach, so a lot of people are making trouble.
She's not here.
So it's not hard to see, then we should have seen
it. It's not what?
If it's not hard, it's really supposed to be easy, then we should have seen
it. No, I think the neurosis sets in. I don't know why the neurosis sets in.
To make a lot.
But, you know.
Maybe just the men should have this.
Well, I don't know, years ago, Rabbi Sharman, Rabbi lived in the neighborhood, he was the Rabbi, put out a little pamphlet in which he said, not so hard. Just do this, just do that. And he suggested that women should prepare for the Seder, because there's the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim divides equally upon men and upon women. So just like the men that say that they're preparing for the Seder, that's what they say. So the women should be preparing for the Seder. But I don't think it worked. I think that somehow people said that he was kidding. I don't think he was kidding. It's not something to be tormented.